Let's pray. Father God, you have heard us praying, and now we just ask, Lord, for your anointing and for your blessing to be on your word this morning. Speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Last week we looked at faith. This week we're going to look at hope. And I just want to remind us that we are to do whatever we can in life to make sure that this trio of treasures, is our lives are filled with it. Faith, hope, and love. That needs to be in our sphere of influence in everything that we do. We need to make sure that we've got a solid faith, a solid hope, and a solid love. The scriptures talk about hope about 135 times. It's interesting that the word hopeless is not found in the scriptures. The gospel is a gospel of hope. God's word is a word of hope for each one of us. It is hope for a hopeless world. Now, when we talk about hope, there is a general secular definition of hope that is good, and there is a biblical definition of hope, and I'm going to kind of weave back and forth between the two of those this morning. But in general, hope is a mental sense of anticipation regarding what's coming ahead. And so we can hope for things out there and hope that those will turn out good. It may be not much more than a wish. It might be a bucket list that we have of things that we want to accomplish. It might be hoping for things that we will get for Christmas. Paul, the Apostle Paul, hoped that he would be able to visit some people soon. He said that quite often in his letters. Or that he would get to a church. And some of those hopes materialized, and others did not happen. He'd hoped for this, some of them happened, and hope for other things that never did happen. So there's nothing wrong with that kind of hope, but that kind of hope sustains us and it motivates us through all kinds of difficulties and challenges that come up in life. I was one that I always enjoyed school in college, not so much in high school, but in college and seminary, I really enjoyed that season of my life a lot. And so after I got in pastoral ministry, one of the things I wanted to do and hoped to be able to get back and to do again was to get my doctorate. And so I kept looking for opportunities, and about the time my kids were just starting into school, the little Christian school that was connected with the church I pastored at the time was going through an administrator change, and they didn't have the money to hire someone, and so they said, well, what we'll do is we'll give you half the salary that we gave the last administrator, and I agreed to it because I wanted my kids to go there and I didn't want it to close. But there was also this other thing going through me that would give me the finances to be able to pay for my doctoral degree and all of that. And so I did that and all of that, and then I showed up on day one of the job and discovered that there were $21,000 of bills that were unpaid and a number of other things, and I didn't even ever get paid half of the previous salary. But anyway, for 17 years I was there and did that. But in the process, my hope of getting that degree, I kept working away at it, and it was more of a challenge than I thought because finances were tighter than I thought. And then about the time I got through all of my classes and it was time to do the dissertation and all of that kind of thesis work, I had that car accident that caused a severe concussion, and I could not think. It was all I could do to get through a sermon and to try to make anything make sense, and everything was fuzzy in my life. And so as a result of that, I mean, I kept trying and trying and trying to write this, and I keep getting letters back from Bethel saying, hey, this is not sufficient. This doesn't work. And finally, one day, after about 2 years of this nonsense, and they extended me more grace than any place should have. But they finally wrote me a letter and said, you are done. We're sorry, but you're done. We can't go any longer. And that was a hope that probably in the beginning, I should have listened closer to God. It was a hope I had. I don't think it was a hope God had. But anyway, that was a hope that I had for the future, something I wanted to do. And I got to enjoy the classes, and I did enjoy them a lot. But I never got to finish up and get my doctoral degree and all of that. The Bible speaks of another kind of hope. The Bible speaks of hope as being a confident expectation of receiving what God has promised us in the future. And so there's a difference there between just what we want and what we wish for and what we know God has said He will give to us and He will do for us. Now, I have to tell you up front, I don't think I ever felt that God had said, Timmons, you should go do this. I just wanted to do it. So there's a difference between a general sense of hope, and that hope did inspire me to keep plugging away at it and get through the courses and all of that. But, you know, it wasn't a biblical sense of hope. And so I'm going to weave back and forth on those things. But like faith, hope has this unwavering confidence in God's goodness and in God's power and in His ability to do what He has said He will do. And so there is this sense of biblical hope in which we know when we pass away from this life that we can be in the arms of Jesus and we can live with Him in heaven because He has promised that to those who believe in Him. Now, Romans chapter 4, verse 18 says that against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Now, when you think about that, this was more than a wish. I mean, Abraham and Sarah, they had wished. They wanted children, Sarah especially. But the wish didn't come true. The hope didn't come true in that general sense. And then there was a day when God said to Abram, you are going to be the father of many nations. And that was the difference between just a secular sense of hope and a biblical sense of hope where God speaks and He declares this. And even though it didn't make any rational sense for an old woman and an old man to be able to give birth to a child, God had said it. That was the difference. And so Abraham believed that God not only promised it, but he believed that God was able to do it, even though Abram couldn't do it and Sarah couldn't do it. And Paul goes on to remind us a few chapters later that hope is not for what our current reality is. Romans chapter 8, verse 24 and 25. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is not hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Now, you know that. We all know that, you know, once you have something, you quit hoping for it. Once you get your Christmas gift that you'd hope for, you quit hoping for it. You've already got it. And so he reminds us of that. And G.K. Chesterton said, hope means hoping when things are hopeless. Or it is of no virtue at all. As long as matters are really hopeful, hope is mere flattery or platitude. It is only when everything is hopeless that hope begins to be a strength. Now, I want to say to us, I want to remind us all of this. We were dead in our sins and transgressions. We had a hopeless case of ever getting to heaven. Hopeless. But that's when God spoke. That's when God sent His Son. That's when God made a promise to each one of us. And because God made the promise, and because God is faithful and God is good, and because God is able to fulfill the promise, and He sent Jesus to die on a cross, we are no longer hopeless. We have hope. Marshall Fox said, "There are no hopeless situations. There are only men and women who have grown hopeless about them." Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not yet see." And I want you to just think about this. Hope is built on faith. Your hope is only as good as the things you put your faith in. You know, when I started that program, my faith was in that I was going to get paid for the job I was doing. That didn't work out. My faith wasn't in the right place there. And so your hope is only as good as the thing you're putting your faith in. And that's another reason why we as Christians need to make sure that our hope is grounded in God and what He says to us. John Maxwell says, "Hope should be a result of what is within us, not what is without us. Not in all the things around us, but hope ought to be about what's on the inside of us." Hope that is just based on the things around us can be rather short-lived, because things are always changing around us. So if our hope is based in faith, in our own wisdom, we might be disappointed. Proverbs 26 verse 12 says, "Do you see a person who is wise in their own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for them." Or if our hope is based in our faith and our own resources and what we have, we can also be disappointed. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 17, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment." Again, he's saying, don't put your trust in those things around you. Put your trust in God. Ultimately, our faith has to be in God rather than all the circumstances around us. Psalm 42, 5, and David says this so often. Remember, he ran from Saul for so many years. That was part of my Bible reading this morning, of just David being on the run from King Saul. And David writes this so often in the Psalms, but Psalm 42, 5 says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for yet I will praise Him, my Savior and my God." And I just think of all the trying times and the caves he hid in and all the places he ran to get away from Saul. Even though he knew God's plan was for him to be the next king, he still was going through difficult times. What was the hope that sustained him? He could get disappointed and disturbed and downcast real easy because of the circumstances. And David would have to say to himself and speak to himself, put your hope in God. And there are times in your life when you are going to be downcast and discouraged and just defeated because of all the circumstances in your life. And you need to speak to yourself at that point. And you need to grab a hold of yourself and you say, don't be discouraged. Put your hope in God. Grab a hold of yourself. Get in control of yourself and encourage yourself. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Now, what are the benefits? How does hope help us live? Well, first of all, it's the key to an attitude that will help you in life. Emo Bruner said, "What oxygen is to the lungs, hope is to the soul." If you're trying to live your life without hope, you are just going to be continually defeated and pulled down. And you have to find a reason to have some hope. G.K. Chesterton again said, "There is only one thing that gives radiance to everything. It is the idea of something around the corner." No matter where you are, keep looking around the corner for something new, something that can give you some hope. And for a lot of us, we need to remember in old age, the greatest days are still ahead. The day when we get to go and see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face and live there. The greatest days are always still ahead of us. John Maxwell says, "People without hope do not think right." And I guarantee that is right. You can think in your own life, times when you have not had hope, and you can look at the way you thought then, and you weren't thinking right. It doesn't help you in life to go through life without hope. Hope makes us more effective and productive. C.S. Lewis writes, he said, "Hope is one of the theological virtues. It means a continual looking forward into the eternal world. And it's not, as some people think, a form of escapism or just wishful thinking. But it's one of the things that you and I are meant to do as Christians. We are to be people who think with hope. It does not mean that we are to leave the present world as it is, but if you read history," he says, "you will find that Christians who did the most for the present world were those who thought the most of the next world." If you really are a Christian thinking about the next world and you have hope in that, you will do something with your life for Christ in this life. He said that since Christians have largely ceased to think of that other world, that they have become so ineffective in this world. And then he closes with this: "Aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in." Aim at earth and you will get neither. Halford Luckock shares about a night he was at a dinner, and there was a man there who spent many summers in Maine, fascinating the companions there at dinner by telling his experiences in a little town called Flagstaff, Maine. The town was about to be flooded years ago, and as a part of a large lake for which a dam was going to be built. And in the months before that flood was scheduled to come, all the improvements and all the repairs in that town just stopped. You know, why would you make improvements to your house? Why would you bother to even paint it if you knew in 6 months it was going to be underwater? Why would you fix potholes in the street? Why would you do anything in that town if you knew in 6 months everything was going to be underwater? You wouldn't do anything. And so he just regaled them in all the stories of how that whole town just went to trash because nobody did anything to move it forward. And then he ended with this. He said, "Where there is no faith in the future, there is no power in the present." And so I want to encourage all of you, keep faith in the future. Keep hope. Hope is the foundation of all positive change. Now, biblical hope also gives us strength and endurance to be able to get through things. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Hope in the Lord gives us strength to get through tough things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 says, "We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ." Hope in the future gives us the ability to endure the tough things that come along. And then biblical hope also assures us of eternal life because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Paul writes to the Corinthians, and he says in 15:19, he says, "If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people the most to be pitied." He says, if there's nothing after death, what business do we have hoping in Christ? He said, that's what it's all about. That's where our hope really is. Titus chapter 3, verse 7 says, "So that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life." Heirs having the hope of eternal life. Now, how do you build hope in your life? I want to remind you what I said earlier. Our hope is only as good as what we put our faith in. So you need to ask yourself, what do I really put my faith in? What do I really trust in? And you need to evaluate that. Is that good? Is that solid? Because your hope is never going to get any better than what you put your faith in. So the first thing we ought to acknowledge, especially as Christians, is that we need to put our hope in the Lord. Psalm 33, verse 20 says, "We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." Psalm 146 says, "Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord." And then in Matthew chapter 12, verse 21, he quotes Isaiah there in that passage, and he says, "In his name the nations will put their hope." Our hope needs to be in the Lord. Now, another thing that I want to remind us all about is it is incredibly important, if you want to be a person of hope, to be a person of godly character and integrity. If you lack character and integrity, you are destroying your hope. You're destroying your ability. You're going to, because people won't be able to trust you, or they're not going to be able to work with you because of your character and your lack of integrity. You're cutting your own chances of building a future that is brings hope to your life. And so it's incredibly important that we teach our young people and that we maintain our character and our integrity and our honesty and all of those things. If we don't have those in our life, we are creating a hopeless future for ourselves. And I just say that as bluntly as I can. I don't know how to put it nicer. We have to be people of integrity and character if we want to be people of hope. Again, John Maxwell says, hope should be a result of that which is within us, not with what is without us. Psalm 25:21 says, "May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you." Proverbs 14:32 says, "When calamity comes, the wicked are brought down. But even in death, the righteous seek refuge in God." I love that. Because a lot of people face death and they're kind of scared of meeting God. For the Christian, we can die and we can't wait to meet God because he is our refuge. We know that we could save ourselves. There was nothing we could do, but we know he died for us to bring us to heaven. And so we have that refuge, and we look forward to that time. We're not scared of meeting God. We're not scared of the judgment because we know that Jesus paid the price on the cross. And when we die, we're all His. And He is our refuge and our strength. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4 says, "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope." Again, you have to live a life of character if you want to be a person of hope. And the longer you live outside of good character, you will produce hopelessness in your life. Now, related to character is discipline. Discipline is always a source of hope. Discipline is what gives athletes hope that when they compete, they have a fighting chance. If you're a lazy athlete and you never train, you don't have much hope when you get to the competition. And discipline is what helps each one of us build hope into our life also. And that can apply to so many circumstances in our life. We need that discipline. Proverbs 19:18 says, "Discipline your children, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to their death." But it not only applies to children, it applies to all of us. If we want to be people of hope, we have to be people who can discipline ourselves. Now, another foundation for hope is the reality of truth. Our culture, and because we have sinful natures, we like to lie to ourselves. But when we deceive ourselves with what is not the truth, it also damages us from being able to live a hope-filled life. A great foundation for hope is found in the reality of what really is, admitting where we are, admitting what's around us, being true to that, and then admitting the truth of what God has to say about our circumstances. Psalm 25, verse 5 says, "Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." Sometimes, again, we like to base our hope in lies and self-deception, and what is not really the reality around us. But we can't help but be disappointed in the end if we're not dealing with reality and with truth. And that means that sometimes you and I have to allow people to speak some things into our life that we don't like. Because the only way we're going to have help, the only way we're going to have hope, is when somebody speaks some truth into my life that I've been ignoring. And sometimes we just have to deal with that. And we live in a culture that doesn't like anyone to tell us something we're not happy with or we don't like. But if you want to be a person of hope, you have to be a person of truth. Romans 15:4 reminds us that Scripture is a foundation for that truth, and it's a foundation for hope. "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." Now, God's presence is also a great foundation for hope. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 3 says, "But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth much more than the sparrows." One of our core values in our Christ acrostic is inspiration. Inspiration is really all about hope. John Maxwell says that we build hope in the lives of people around us by expressing belief in them, Mary Kay Ash said, everyone has this invisible sign hanging on their neck saying, make me feel important. John Spaulding said, those who believe in our ability do more than just stimulate us. They create for us an atmosphere in which it becomes easier to succeed. That's especially important for people to succeed spiritually. And as a church, one of our missions is to help people succeed spiritually by becoming disciples of Jesus. And I want to remind you, this congregation lives this so well. So I just want to encourage you in this. Few people become committed disciples of Jesus if the church body is not a body that gives hope and grace and gives us this atmosphere of inspiration, of grace and truth, where we have that blend that Jesus had, where we speak truth and we do it with grace, not with legalism, not with a bunch of rules, but just truth grounded in grace that accepts people where they are and leads them to higher ground. And I just encourage you, as part of our acrostic, to make sure that you are a person of hope and that you're inspiring others and the people around you in that. Napoleon said, a leader is a dealer in hope. I say to you, a Christian is a dealer in hope. Let's pray. Father God, we just ask, Lord, this morning that you would help each one of us to make that solid foundation of hope in our life. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to make choices. Help us, Lord, to always have this general sense of hope that helps us deal with the difficulties that come along in life. Help us to have things that we're looking forward to. Help us to have things that are goals Father, just things that we just expect to happen that are positive. But we pray, Lord, also that you would help each one of us to build this biblical sense of hope that isn't filled with doubt, because it's things that you have promised to us. Things that we know that you're capable of. That even when we're not capable of, you're capable of doing them. And I pray, Father, that you would build in each one of us that kind of hope. And then, Father, lastly, we just pray, Lord, that you would continue to help us to be a hope-filled body of believers that expresses truth and expresses grace to people until they just come into that presence of hope that only Jesus gives. In Jesus' name, amen.